Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Wendy Papazian.
I'm Seychelle Van Poole.
And I'm Tiffany Fikes. And it is not often that we get to drop a podcast episode on Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. I love that you're treating yourself to this podcast as a, you know, a Christmas gift.
That's
if
right.
If you are listening to this.
On Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wendy's wearing some very festive earrings, by the way. She's wearing these beautiful kind of like bright pink and red earrings that are very Christmassy and festive.
I got these. I was just in Mexico. We went across the border when we were in West Texas, and these are handmade. I met the woman who made them.
Oh, that's awesome! Love them. Mm-hmm. They are really
cute. We won't
ask
you why you ran across the border really quickly into Mexico.
No, just for the day. I didn't run over there. I wasn't like drug running or anything like that.
I ran away to Mexico, and then I decided to come home.
You know, times are tight, so we're trying to supplement
your buying power.
Income.
Groceries are cheaper, probably on the other side of the border too.
Supplements, you know. True.
Well, we digress. But we wanted to give you guys today on Christmas a fun episode just about our kind of Christmas traditions, things we love and look forward to. And because we find ourselves to be unusual, we're also going to talk about what we've discovered might be weird about our traditions that we think are normal, but are maybe not so normal.
Yeah, so, we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It'll be fun.
So what do you ladies remember about, like, or what did you really love about your childhood Christmases? What stick out in your minds?
Well, for me, it was always going over to my grandmother's house. So my dad has a pretty big family. He had five brothers and sisters, and I have a lot of cousins. And my grandmother, she always had this really old flocked Christmas tree. I don't know if that's even a thing anymore.
What does flocked mean?
The tips are, well, the tips have like white stuff on them. So I guess it's supposed to look like snow.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, it's like a frosted tree. And I don't know. This was way back when. This was in the 70s. So it felt like, wow, this was the height of
fancy,
you know, whatever. Just all my cousins were there and, you know, it was a great, exciting thing when you got to move up from the kids' table to the big table. I always had to sit on the piano bench with my cousin. Yeah, just a small indignity. Going over to my grandmother's house. And then, you know, for us, it was always snow. So, you know, I grew up in Minnesota. And so Christmas means lots and lots and lots of snow and sometimes not even getting to grandma's house because of the snow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had opposite childhood Christmases. My mom was an only child. My dad was the youngest by 10 years. So we didn't have the big family. We would have maybe my grandparents or we would go to their house, but it wasn't like cousins and people coming out of our ears. Also, we were in South Texas.
Yeah.
So
no snow.
We had no snow. There was actually one year after I had grown up and it was like the magic people still talk about. It snowed on Christmas Eve in Corpus Christi in 2000,
was it 96?
Maybe 2001.
Oh, well, the mid-90s. Okay.
It didn't snow all the way to Corpus in the mid-90s because that was the height of my high school. So, but one year we got snow. So I didn't have a lot of family and I definitely didn't have a lot of snow, but I could wear shorts on Christmas.
because I was talking to my dad yesterday and I was asking him, I said, Dad, what's the snowiest year you ever remember? Because he's spent his whole life in Minnesota. He just moved to Texas. So spent 82 years of his life in Minnesota. And I said, what's the snowiest year you ever remember? And he's like, oh, 96. He knew immediately it was.
Wow.
Because there were hundreds of inches of snow that year.
Oh, wow.
Hundreds and hundreds. And I was living in New York, and I remember it was the blizzard of 96. So, crazy. Not necessarily around Christmas, but the whole city shut down. So,
That's crazy. Wow. We're somewhere snowy. Between. My dad had four – he was the oldest of five kids and had four younger sisters. And his dad, my grandfather, Duck, is what we called him, Deck and Nana. His birthday and his brother's birthday, 5 years younger than him, were both on December 23rd.
Oh,
and
wow.
So we had on that side, there were 5 kids, 12 cousins. And so we would do the whole pool family Christmas at my grandmother's house. And like, I was actually reflecting about her yesterday. Like, my grandmother Nana was like the best intentional person about creating memories and making you feel special as a person. Mm. Like, that was just her superpower. She was so good at it and creating traditions and like curating that. It's actually something I was thinking about. I was like, that's a really cool superpower and like something I would love to emulate with her. But so we'd have a big birthday party for my grandfather, and we would always do Mexican food because, you know, Texas. And so we would do Mexican food. And then my cousin Luke, who wrote this when he was about 8 or 9, but ended up going to Harvard, which we'll explain some of this in a second. He wrote when he was little, like, the nativity scene. And as when we were little, like, they would have like costumes for us, and they would make us read Luke's nativity scene. But wow. Then it got weird because then they made us do it every year after that. And so
until you were 35.
Yeah. Like, then we were like 20 something. Like, Nick and I are dating. Like, we're adults. Like, and they're still making us read.
What role were
this
you?
This nativity scene. Often I was Mary. Sometimes I got to be like a wise
man.
Oh,
you got the starring role?
Do you want the
I
starring
think
role?
Jesus is the starring role.
Yeah. Well, and like,
I mean, like, in terms
baby
of speaking
Jake,
parts.
Right. Yeah, that's
speaking
true.
Parts,
like,
yeah.
But then you had to read it. You know, and poor Luke, who's like graduated Harvard, is like, and then there was Mary, you know, and he had to like narrate it. And Jake, who was our youngest cousin, and when he was little, had these like curly blonde locks. So cute. He's now like 6'4", right? Like, not tiny. But like, they would make Jake be baby Jesus every time because he was the youngest. And so then he's like, baby Jesus is like a 15-year-old, you know, I'm sure that you loved. So that was
awesome.
Weird. And then the other thing we would always but nice. Yeah. Very sweet. And then look who just brought me breakfast tacos. Nick just made breakfast tacos. Speaking of Mexican food. Thank you, honey. And then the other thing we would do is my grandmother wrote out on recipe cards the 12 days of Christmas, and everyone would have to team up with like an aunt, an uncle, cousin. And we would all sing the 12 days of Christmas, like one group at a time would have to act out and sing your part. And that's
so like
still
you were given the
do.
Ladies dancing.
Yeah. You really
whatever.
Didn't want to be like a partridge in a pear tree. That's always the one that you're like, please don't give me number one. Please don't give me.
Cause you have to do it so much, so many times.
It's number two. That's the one that's
because you don't
like,
want to say it so long, or because you just have to sit.
Well,
because
you do it 12
weirdly,
times,
like a
right? You have to
partridge in a pear tree.
So, like on the first day of Christmas, right? Like, and then like everyone kind of joins you a little bit in a partridge in a pear tree, but then that's number two, like is not. No one joins you on that one. And then you have to sing it 11 more times and act it out, right? And so, like, guys are dancing, lords are leaping. I don't know. It's a whole thing. But so we still – my grandmother passed away in 2006. We still do that
very
with her
creative family.
I was going to say, I'd love to point out that everything Seychelle has mentioned so far includes acting things out.
This is true. It is. It is very like – and then we do a big white elephant gift exchange on the 23rd. But like, these are things that we started when I was a little kid that we still do today, which I think is, you know, kind of like when you think about the power of memories and the power of experience – like, for her to have created these ideas, you know, 30 plus years ago, and for us still to be doing them today is really like a magical part of what you can do during the holidays to curate this like long lasting legacy or experience that your family bonds over. So that was something I was thinking about as you were writing this episode, Tiffany. But those are some of our kids things we did.
We would do not white elephant, but we would play dirty bingo.
Tell me more.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard of this. I cannot wait to learn.
Do tell.
Well, we called it dirty bingo, but I mean, there was no bingo involved, so it's kind of weird. But
I kind of love okay. Go on.
So this is going to go in the weird category for you, Wendy. Let's just go ahead and say this is something weird. Go ahead.
I'm blushing now. No, it's not that weird. Did we call it dirty bingo? I don't know. Dirty Santa. No, Dirty Santa. Is that a thing?
Dirty Santa is a thing, yeah.
Okay, it's Dirty Santa, not Dirty Bingo. Okay, scratch that. Yeah, Dirty Santa. My grandmother loved games. She loved games. She would do treasure hunts for us at the 4th of July, like huge treasure hunts for all the kids, like all over the place. And then we would play Dirty Santa, which is she would wrap up all these little – she'd find these little, you know, crappy gifts throughout the year. And there'd be tons of them. We had to bring some ourselves too. And so you always ended up with like a little – you know, a little giftie or two after that, which is, yeah. I guess it's cards. I can't even remember it really, but cards. And then you're kind of stealing presents from other people. It's like the white elephant thing, but slightly different. So that was always a good. Yeah. And I have just so many memories of playing games with my grandmother. She's really the one that loved playing games. So
that's really special.
Yeah. Games were a big part of my memories of my grandparents, which, you know, we didn't just see them, but like my grandparents taught me how to play bridge. Oh, and so by the time I was 12, I was like
a shark.
I wasn't a shark, but I at least knew and understood how to play and I could win. And like, it was fun. And it was kind of like a party trick that you really can't do at a party because no one else knows how to play bridge. But that was one of the things I got from my grandparents.
Real popular in college.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what about today? What are you guys doing today to be intentional with your families?
Well, we actually do the Dirty Santa game. My siblings, when our siblings are together, so we do every other year. So the Feltons, so my maiden name, my original family, we get together every other year. This definitely goes in the weird category. My sister's kids raise chickens for 4-H. So when it's the Felton year, we have to actually go to her house because they have something like 300 chickens in their barn that they have to keep fed. And like, so we stir chickens for Christmas with the Feltons.
Television show. Stirring chickens.
We have alarms that go off on when you got to get out there and move them around to get them to eat, and it's craziness. But we play Dirty Santa, so all the siblings.
And Tiffany's like, anybody want to play bridge?
That's right.
Who doesn't?
I've got no problem
anymore.
Coming up with the list of weird for Tiffany. Tiffany understands. She lives in the world of weird every day.
I love that about you.
So we play Dirty Santa. So instead of me buying a present for my brother or me and my sister and all of that, we all say, all right, go buy, I guess some people call it white elephant, but go buy a $100 gift that you think somebody would like. And then we fight over them in the middle.
That's fun. I think the game is Dirty Santa, but then like the gift is called a white elephant gift. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So these are good gifts. Like I've got this really cool thing. I would never have bought a portable umbrella. Like a large umbrella that can stand up on asphalt. I would never have bought that. I actually didn't think it was going to be that great of a gift at the end. And I love that thing. And I use it all the time now. You never know what you're going to get.
It's kind of amazing, right? It's kind of amazing how that works out. Where you're like, I didn't know I needed this and now I can't live without it. At Her Best Life, we're not just building businesses. We're growing our net worth, leveraging our platforms for good, and living our big lives. And that's what Empire Circle is all about. It's an executive membership designed for ambitious business women leaders who want more. More growth, more profit, more impact, and more freedom. This is where powerful, deep connections meet powerful results. Apply now at herbestlife.com and join us by stepping in to Empire Circle.
Well, and I think it's so nice when there's not this pressure just to buy a ton of presents for everyone.
Yes, 100%.
We stopped that quite a few years ago in my extended family, on Jay's side of the family. And it just kind of was so nice. It just took this burden off like, oh my gosh, I have to buy something for everyone. And so we just, you know, we each pick a person. We buy one nice gift for that person. And it ends up being really fun. Yeah. It's more about the experience than all the stuff, you know.
Yep.
So. We, for the first like 5 or 6 years after Quinn was born, we were still doing the old traditions that our family had before we had kids. And that involved then like, we would spend the night at my parents' house and then we'd wake up in the morning and do Christmas morning with them. And then we'd rush over to Nick's parents' house and do Christmas with them. And like, we never felt like we had our own – Christmas mm-hmm. tradition. And Nick, it was actually Nick's idea probably five – it was right before COVID. It's probably 5 years ago. We sat down and kind of mapped out what we wanted our cadence to look like. And it's honestly one of the best things we've ever done because we were able to then say, okay, we actually want Christmas morning at our house in our pajamas, like with our stuff, right? Like, and then we – my mom really loved the idea of having – a Christmas together. And so we kind of worked with her and my sister then to say, what if we did Duck's birthday on 23rd? We still celebrate him and have that whole family together. And then we do like a Christmas morning on the 24th at your house and we can have the brunch and the, all the things. Cause we kind of had that conversation of like, is it about the date of being Christmas morning or is it about the like sentiment of being together with a relaxed Christmas morning that we're all spending together? And she's like, no, it's really about the experience together. And so we were like, okay, could we like have our cake and eat it too and have it on the morning of the 24th all together? So we do that now on the 24th with her, which is really nice. And then the evening of the 24th, we do Nick's we do church service and Nick's sister usually does like a tamale thing. You can sense like a Texas theme here. And so we do like a tamalad and we like get a bunch of people together and do tamales for Christmas Eve. And then in the morning on the 25th, we have it as like our quiet little family Christmas morning. And it's kind of like we're still getting in all the people, but it slowed down the frantic pace of mm-hmm. what that has mm-hmm. felt like it needed to be. And we enjoy – it still feels busy, but we enjoy, I think, the holidays so much more than we were before where we just felt like exhausted and tired yeah. And stressed and all those things. And so I think that's probably my favorite thing that we've done is actually slowed down and really looked at like what do we want it to look like with a lot yeah. of – wonderful family in town and how do we make it kind of work for everybody. And so that's honestly one of the best things we've done. Yeah. It was great.
So smart. And we did that too. I mean, we had to fly to see our family at that point. So
yeah.
We put our foot down right away and just said, listen, if you guys want to come see us. And
yeah.
What I always hated was this like when the kids were opening presents, it was this like pressure to like open the next one. Everyone's watching. And now it, you know, my kids are older now, but when they were, you know, younger, it was like, you want to open a present and then play with it.
Yeah.
That's cool. You know, it extends the fun. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just love the intentionality because I think traditions are great. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like the traditions that you have, you can
change it,
come up with yeah. some of your own.
Yeah. Well, and we added the cadence of the Advent season in. Mm. Well, that was not a thing that we had or that I had growing up. And so this like anticipation and this refocusing on, for us, the purpose of the season. And so like every day leading up, we've done it a little different ways depending as our kids have grown. You know, like when they were little, we like did a little ornament craft thing that they would make, like something they would color, and then we hung it on the tree. And then we did this, we got this other one where we bought 20 ornaments that went with the story, and we would read a piece of the story and hang the ornament. And it just helped build anticipation because I'm notorious for just like get to the
yeah.
next thing.
Yeah.
And you can be overwhelmed in this season of just getting to the next thing because there's like 85 things that you've got to get to. And so yeah. that rhythm of a slow anticipation towards it instead of a quick reading and moving on has helped us also in that kind of slowing intentionality with our family.
I love that. Well, one of the things we do is we've always chopped our tree down. So
awesome.
We drive out to the Elgin Christmas Tree Farm. Shout out to the Elgin Christmas Tree Farm, which is about an hour away. And, you know, you put your boots on because, of course, it's Texas. There's no snow. I actually remember the first time I went out there, in my mind, I thought it would be snowy, even though it's an hour away. I don't know what I was thinking. So I was like,
you have the old, it's the old factory. Like, that's right for you.
It's crazy. But we go out there, we take the hayride out to the Christmas tree field and we have our big old saw and we wander around and we debate endlessly the merits of all the different trees and making sure it's the right size and there's not a weird spot. And and you know, in Texas, like especially during the drought years, I can remember like 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. Like we got some really homely trees, like some serious
some Charlie Brown
trees. Yeah. Where it was like, let's just put a blanket on this one and tuck it in the corner. But yeah, so that's been a fun tradition for us. And then we chop it down and go put it back on the, you know, the hay baler or whatever it is, the hay cart, and get some hot chocolate. And they have a little playground and a maze and everything out there. So that's really fun for us. And we're not a family that, you know, does their Christmas in October. You know, we're kind of like, okay, it's December. You know, I like all my, which if you don't like it like that, that's fine. I'm also not one of these people who's a hater. It's like, come on, what's wrong with people?
Yeah, you do. It's cool.
You do you. Yeah. But we're like a December, and especially when you get a live tree, you kind of have to, you have to do it.
Yeah.
That
you
got to
pick your timing. Yeah.
And then our other thing that we do is we have so Zilker, the big park that's near our house, they put up a giant tree of lights and they actually put it on this moon tower, which is, if you're in Austin, you know what that is. If you don't, you don't know what it is. But it's this giant tree of lights. And whenever you drive through the park at night, you can see it. And there's this tradition that people do in Austin, which is you go and you spin. Tiffany's smiling. She knows.
What's fun is we all lived in Austin, so we've all spun under the Zilker tree.
I forgot that. Yeah, so that's our Christmas Eve tradition. So we go.
I love that. You do that Christmas Eve? Usually, that's so cool.
And it's usually pretty dead because most people
are
going on different days.
I love that.
So it's not crazy
really?
At all.
That's smart.
So usually we bump into a few neighbors, which is fun. And we've brought Taco, our dog, you know, these last couple of years. And we'll just go and drive there, walk up the little hill and just spin under the tree. And so that's our, it's special. It's special. Yeah. It's really special.
Yeah, I wish Nashville had something like that. Like that's so unique of Austin, and I love it. And everywhere, like New York has a tree, but nothing like you can interact with. And Nashville doesn't have anything like that. Like that's something I miss. So you just gave me a good memory.
Like,
thank
out.
You. The nostalgia.
Well, it's community because you're there, and there's other people there, and you're basically being vulnerable by being a weirdo and just spinning until like some people are spinning until you flop onto the ground.
Fall down,
you know,
or you're
doing that thing where you're kind
of – have definitely done, you know, that. The stagger.
The stagger, you know. So it's fun.
I love it.
I love that. In our – in Highland Park, which is close to us, it's like where all the like really large houses are, right? They do carriage rides. And
fun.
You get to go. So we do a horse carriage ride with like hot chocolate and wine and like throw people into like little horse carriage and go, and they'll take you around, like, you know, it's like an hour long carriage ride that you go and look at all the Christmas lights. So that's something we've started since my dad passed away. We've done it on and off, but that now for the last couple, 2 years now, we've done that as like a little tradition that we've added in, which has been a fun one. So to kind of build up for the holidays. So I love your traditions. This is cool.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good reminder, especially if you have kids or even if you don't, traditions are really important. You know, they're really important. It's what cements your memories. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they don't have to necessarily be around holidays. You can have traditions for anything. You can have rituals and traditions. And there's a reason people have been doing rituals for probably since humans were born.
Yeah.
You know, since humans were created. And that is, they're really powerful.
I love that. Well, thanks for sharing yours with us today, ladies. And for all of you out there, that whatever you celebrate, whether it's Christmas or any other holiday, we hope you're having a very happy holidays and enjoying your time together with your family. And cheers to a great holiday season and to an even better new year coming up soon, too. Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Happy holidays.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.